Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Chevalier Mortgage. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit dnvrmortgage.com, where you can get signed up for a free consultation and to discuss all of your options, as well as get free DNVR merch. Check it out today. I'm sure you've heard about the great mortgage rates out there right now, but Mike and Virginia are not your typical mortgage company. Yes, they do have the phenomenal rates, but what makes them different is that Mike is a certified financial planner and looks at so much more than just rate when designing your home loan. Plus, they're a small family-owned company, just like us here at DNVR, so you'll always feel like a person and not a number. Again, head on over to dnvrmortgage.com and check them out today. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. Use code DNVR to sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Haefeli, the man, the myth, the legend, Blaze Hunter, back with us for the post game. Good to have you back,
Blaze. Oh, man. I'm doing awesome.
Look,
I would just like to say this is bullshit. Okay. We do. A full off season worth the podcast, and this dude he hangs out for like two episodes, and they were about jerseys and logos.
Oh, we did a quiz show too. Come on now. AJ's just salty because I insulted his graph.
And then this dude just shows back up randomly. Oh, there's actual hockey stuff to talk about. Well, sure. I guess I can come back on the pub. Must be nice.
Well, I gotta be honest with you. This is a preseason game that we're talking about here, and it's almost 11 p.m. in Colorado. So this is gonna be some DNVR after dark level stuff that we're getting into on this show. I think we might go a little bit off the rails at times, but I guess let's jump in. Avs lose 4-3 to the Vegas Golden Knights, but they do win the shootout. So who won really?
Well, according to the broadcast, it was more important to win the game.
Okay.
I'm not sure why. But I'm pretty sure it's because that broadcast was horrific.
I genuinely, first of all, thank you to our super chats. Vaguely Sober, Ryan B., and this new one here from Seth. Much appreciated, all three of you. Good to have y'all back in the post-game lounge, even if it is sort of a loser's lounge. I don't really know, but genuinely.
Yeah. No, bro, there are no losers in the preseason, okay? the only losers are the guys that get hurt. Otherwise, everybody wins.
And this is nothing against those Vegas announcers. Are those their regular announcers? I don't know.
No.
Okay.
No, good. They are not.
Oh,
I was going to say, if those are their regular announcers, how are they not like really the worst cast in the league?
I'm not 100% on this, but I'm pretty sure those are the Henderson guys.
Okay.
Because they sounded familiar, but
couldn't place it.
Yeah, but it was I've watched a lot of Vegas broadcasts over the last few years, and I did not hate them at all. And this broadcast tonight, I was strongly contemplating taking this plastic fork and trying to gouge my eyes out with it. Not that that would have helped my ears any, but it probably would have at least alleviated some of the pain.
But just to clarify, that was not Eric Johnson on the
Yeah, so the real the takeaways from this game. Rookie games are not preseason games. Okay. Eric Johnson and Jack Johnson are different people. And somewhere out there, there is a third McCarr brother waiting to get drafted by Colorado.
I hope there is. That was a story that would be.
We have had a big night getting back into hockey. We learned a lot.
Well, look, I don't know. I can't explain this game any better than the announcers, all right? The Golden Knights had control of this game until they lost it. All right? Factual statement. Look, the Avs iced four players that are going to be on their NHL roster in this hockey game.
Logan O'Connor was their extra attacker. They were like, oh, the Avs get the extra, the Johansson gets pulled and the extra attacker hops on and it's Logan O'Connor. And I just cackled. I was like, oh my gosh. I love and hate preseason hockey.
The first period was definitely first period hockey of the first game of preseason. My
goodness.
Wow. Yeah.
And the first like 12 minutes of the second period was like the preseasoniest preseason that ever preseason.
They just forgot to try offense for 12 minutes.
It was
no one wanted the puck.
Dude, it was just so uninteresting for such long stretches. And what was worse is that it was like, this is totally fine. I'd be watching baseball otherwise right now. This is totally fine.
Snoop Dogg should broadcast the preseason. They should have just anybody in there for the preseason. Just while out.
Dude, that's what they should do. They should steal our watch-along idea for preseason games, but with just random people.
just two people they pulled out of the rink. Like
straight up like, hey, guys, do you want to be in the rink for this preseason game, or do you want to just come talk on television for 2.5 hours?
Dude, there would be like... That's how you create the new Boom Goes the Dynamite, all right? Is you just get two people up there, gets the puck, passes it to the man.
Just wait for one of, like, that's how you find a hidden gem, or you rack up a lot of FCC fines. Those two things are going to happen. Those are the only two.
Quick trigger finger on the bleep that night, all right?
That 7-second delay has got to be rocking high.
All right, let's actually do a little bit of analysis here. Let's start by assuaging some fears. The first shot Pavel Francouz has seen in 21 months goes in the net.
No, it didn't.
Okay, you're right. It went off the post. but it went off the post, so it doesn't count.
It went
as
behind
a shot.
Him.
It was the rebound that went in.
The post. It hit the post, so it's not a shot.
I also fair.
So he We're ends up putting right. up one more to give up two goals before they swap to Johansson in the third.
How long did it take everybody to figure it out?
Johansson was in?
Didn't take long. Their body types are marginally different.
And it's also like...
The announcer's a little bit old time.
The glove is on a different hand. And it's like... Guys, just a hint. That's not Frankie anymore.
Look, Anthony, if you're a Mariners fan, you asked for heartbreak. I don't know what to tell you, but... in any case, no worries about Frankie, right? This was totally just get him some game shots, yes?
Oh, my God. Needs, and,
yeah.
To be honest with you, a little bit annoyed that he didn't play the whole game. Like, the whole point is to get him
back. I thought, why not just leave him in?
Yeah.
He needs to play.
He started, like, he looked a little more comfortable as he started, like, going into the second period. He looked more comfortable. He was moving pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And I understand, like, don't overdo it. You have they have a preset schedule and all that, but it's just like, let him do it. Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Agreed.
So, but it was, I mean, I'm not going to nitpick lineup decisions in the first preseason game.
Yeah. Right.
The sixth preseason game. You watch out, Jared Bednar. We're going to nitpick that shit.
I mean, I would nitpick Vegas's decisions because they iced like more than half of their NHL roster for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I fully expect Colorado does something similar on Thursday.
Sure.
Yeah.
But still, Vegas went in compared to the Avs' choices.
Oh, dude. Well, and it was so funny to watch their power play.
Yeah.
With like half of their top power play unit in the NHL was on that unit.
Yep.
And it's like, you guys are missing Pacioretty and Stone. But otherwise, this is it.
Yeah.
Rolled it out. And they got one power play goal, but
they got two.
Did they get two?
Or Vegas got two. The Avs got none.
The Avs had none. You're what?
They had one like right after.
Immediately.
I loved what the announcer called it. Power play adjacent.
Yep. Accurate.
That's awesome.
Great. I was like, what a great term.
All right. So we don't have a graphic because it's preseason.
And, yeah. Yeah. But, what the hell, Blaze? I made more graphics for this game than you did. Who's falling down on the job?
Unbelievable. Do we have an Avs king of the game? And is it Bowen Byram? By like a mile and a half.
What? Why?
It's Jack Johnson.
Yes.
No.
Obviously, yeah. Jack Johnson. Where's my Jack Johnson jersey?
Did you see him with the he evaded, like right before that goal happened? Right, he made that just escaped some pressure, did a little spin move around a guy.
Yeah.
Passed it up to Nikushkin.
That was weird about it.
Shortly
after breaking up a 2-on-1 too. Like
yeah. Yeah, and then on the power play or on the penalty kill there, grabbing the puck, knowing where the puck was going, and then a sweet cross check as well to finish it up. The hardest cross check I've ever seen in my life.
Brutal. This cross check stuff's going to be gone by the second week of the season, right? Like, there's no way they keep calling
and it
this
was
once
like,
the regular season
like,
starts.
I really, like, the Bocage one I said was soft as hell, but, like, I also get, like, that's exactly the thing they're looking for. And yeah. Then you had like the Bowers Petrangelo stuff at the end of the game.
Yeah.
But it was like the only one that was like, was this even a cross check? Was the Jack Johnson thing? Yeah. We were like, did he just have like one hand on that stick? Like, I don't know. It was kind of silly, but it was also like Jack Johnson's going to get called for that a lot.
That's just like the older gentleman defenseman. That's like what they were taught. Like, to unteach that now at that age, that's going to be hard for him.
Bro, so. He is my age IRL, okay?
Well, he's younger than me.
Let's not talk about at that age, all right, bro? Let's just...
Oh, God, I'm the baby of this podcast.
100%.
Jeez. All right.
Give it another 2 weeks, man. We'll adopt a toddler to bring on so that we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Oh man.
Or we'll do the opposite. We'll go and get an old guy.
Yeah, it's one way or the other.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm the old guy.
I think Artem Anisimov's probably going to be looking for work soon.
Very true.
We'll get to him in a second. I do want to finish up on Jack Johnson. He did score a goal tonight, even if it did go in off Brett Howden. Looked rock solid. We've been saying it since the first day of training camp, but this contract is signed, sealed, delivered at this point, right?
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Team friendly.
All right.
I mean, 1 year, 1 million, man. It's happening. Oh,
well,
just sent him right in on us here.
Sup, dude?
Oh, God. Oh, jeez. I was not ready.
Preseason pod.
Let's go.
God, this feels like the first day back at school and you haven't seen your friends all summer. Except three of us just spent like a week together.
I know. Well, it's everyone's having issues. Bednar's Zoom froze, so it just kind of ended.
That's awesome.
We'll get to that Zoom call in just a second, but we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Be sure to get it down at the DNVR bar. P.S. Go to the bar and hang out and come vibe with us. We have a bunch of awesome stuff planned.
Yeah, I know it's just preseason now, but it's still a great place to hang, especially like on Sundays if you want to come watch a bunch of football with us. Or maybe, look, all I'm saying...
This is in the works.
Yeah. All I'm saying is F1 is coming to the correct hemisphere pretty soon, so be prepared for a little bit of F1 action at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. In any case, also check out us. You know, season's right around the corner. We have a bunch of stuff in the works. Can't really spoil anything yet, but keep your eyes peeled. Great time. It's
comical how much stuff we have planned.
We have
for the next 3 weeks
loaded up on things. It's gonna be crazy, but. Yeah, great time to sign up for a DNVR membership for us. You got the Nuggets starting up as well. The Broncos are 3-0 right now. You don't have to think about the Colorado Rockies anymore, so that's good.
or Trevor Story. Dear.
check us out. Great time to sign up. Bunch of content coming your way. We hope you will jump along for the ride with us and hit up the Ball Corporation. Maybe you need a little bit of extra spending cash. They are hiring right now for their Golden plant. You can text Golden to 77222 or go to jobs.ball.com to get an application. They're a great company. They're very eco-friendly. They work towards a lot of Green Deal stuff. They even have programs where their business is to track resources here on Earth, make sure things aren't spiraling out of control. So that's good. They also pay competitive wages, give good benefits, and even will help you fill out your resume with things like classes if you have holes there too. So check out the Ball Corporation today. Again, go to jobs.ball.com to get yourself an application. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, Evan, was that interview as preseason as this hockey game was?
Look, bro, what did they say about Shane Bowers?
He mentioned that he's much improved. That was about it. I mean, then it just cut out, so there really wasn't much.
That was it.
Yeah, we talked to Frankie for like 2 minutes, and then it was just me and Peter on there. So,
people really showed out for this one. Got it.
Yeah. But no, he said Nuke was a standout up front.
Dude.
And JJ and Byram on the back end, but the other guys he mentioned by name were Barron, Megna, LOC, and then he said Bowers is much improved this year. And he also mentioned Henry, too. So, yeah.
He knows who Nick Henry is now.
And then it just cut out. It froze on his face, and I was like, what's happening?
Oh, this game could have cut out after the 2-2 goal, and nothing would have changed.
It was a little more entertaining than I anticipated. I got to give that game a little bit of credit.
No,
I actually turned off off the TV, and then everyone's like, "There's a shootout going on." So I missed like the first four shots.
So did the goaltenders.
Oh, Brassois! Look, I was like, "Oh, Bauer's nice goal," and then I watched replays. Like, Brassois was done. He didn't want to do that anymore.
Like, I don't want to take the credit away from Bowers, but it also just looked like Brassois was like, I must stand here. If you hit me with the puck, that's all you do.
All right, let's start with the top of that list then. Has Valanciunas been taking classes from Nazem Kadri? Do we have a new Bob Ross penalty man?
Dude. He looked dope in this game. Like this has been a chaotic post-game podcast, but yep. he really, like, Nichushkin didn't. He looked locked in. He looked really good. Some of that, I'm sure, is relative. Like,
no doubt.
There was a wasteland of NHL talent at forward behind him. But he genuinely did. He stood out. I really... If that's the Val Nichushkin that they're going to get for 75% of the year, well, it is a contract year.
Okay.
That assist on the first goal was great. Beautiful backhand.
Yes.
Guy was trailing. He saw that guy. You saw him look back and just put it right on a stick. So got to give him that. And he flew again. Takes him a little bit to get up to speed, but geez, man, he can fly.
Yep. It very much train tracks, as AJ put it, I think, in his tweet. It's just got to get the coal in the engine before he starts going. But once he gets there.
I love that last penalty you drew. It was like right in front of the ref after the Vegas guy came out of the box. And the ref was just like, he looked at the Vegas player, he put his hand, he's like, I have to call it. I'm sorry.
That one also looked like Nichushkin, like, looked down at his at the stick and was like, don't mind if I do step on
right off this bad boy.
That was like half the penalties tonight.
Chat is already getting into this, but after Nichushkin, Blaze, you mentioned the pass. Olausen's game. What did you guys actually think of it? Because obviously his first shift of the night was bad. But he potted the goal with a great shot. Felt like he gained a little bit of confidence. You started seeing a little bit more from him. Certainly in like power play situations where he has space, it looks decent. Decision making though, still big question mark.
He had one incident where he had the, it looked like he either had an open shooting lane.
And he tries a little flip pass.
Wasn't a great angle. And so he wanted to try and create a little bit more and try and do something else with it. I liked that decision. I liked it. And I mean, it didn't go anywhere, but I thought his head was in the right place. And I felt like the thing that bothered me the most in what we've seen previously from him was that he skated himself out of chances and into trouble too often. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see any of that tonight. He was a lot more decisive. He played with way more confidence than we've seen. It was a lot better. It's nowhere near ready. Yeah. I mean, nowhere near.
No, yeah.
But you get to, like, after the rookie showcase, it was like, what is this, dude? That's the kind of thing that you expect from a mid-round pick, right? But the player that they saw tonight, that was definitely a lot more of, okay, this is the appeal of your first round pick. Like, this guy looked totally different. Just looked much, much better.
Dunked it in the shootout as well, so.
I missed that one, obviously.
Oh, I mean, he just cuts it. He comes into the right and he starts to fade to his forehand on the left, and then he just shoots it back against the grain as Brossoit followed him. And easy, textbook.
Like, textbook goal.
Just whipped it right underneath the glove.
The only shootout goal that was easier was Shane Bowers, who Brossoit didn't even move. And Bowers just threw it in.
He still holds onto the puck way too long.
Yeah.
And hopefully just with more time in North America, he'll figure that out. But I do like, as an 18-year-old new country, that he understands that I can shoot the puck and he's got confidence to do that. So this always felt like give him his preseason game and let him go to Barry. Now I kind of wonder if they're like, okay, maybe he gets another one.
Look,
Like, I mean, you guys mentioned this before in rookie camp, that there's no pressure on him. Like, the fact that he's gotten better is probably the best thing that you can think of. And that's about really all there is to say about it. Just let him go to juniors and do his thing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. His skill level is definitely there. I mean, obviously he's like a step behind, I think, right now. Decision-making is a little wonky, but again, at 18 years old, like, he looks like he's going to mature into a great player.
This is the kind of night where you dream on a kid.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
there's some NHL skills there.
You're like, oh man, when he develops that, the power in his game, when he grows into his body, when he starts to understand that he can just run fools over, he's got that shot. If he develops any level of playmaking whatsoever, it's really easy to dream on this guy being a 50-point guy for you in the future. You know, he just whips 30 goals at him. And that's the night that you want to see. You want to see one of those in the preseason after you draft a guy. You don't want to walk away being like, Jesus, what was that? Because that's where they were before tonight. It just wasn't very good. And after tonight, it was like,
Evan, we already talked about him a little bit, but you're on Team Jack Johnson at this point, yes?
I don't know how to do this. Super nice guy. Talked to him a little bit this morning. He seems like super chill and relaxed. But at this point, we said in camp he has to bomb to lose a contract, and he certainly didn't do that tonight. Other than you get the Graves vibes with like half of his shots got freaking blocked at the point, but yeah, he did a lot and he looked good. And I think he's always liked playing the right side, which is an advantage that they, I mean, considering he's not a right shot, but having someone who's comfortable on the right side, it gives him an advantage over some of these other guys.
He did lead tonight in shot attempts.
How many hit the net? Like two?
Individually. He had five shot attempts.
Oh. One yeah, hit. His contract's probably already written up.
So. I assume so. Let's go through the other defensemen here. Bowen Byram was a stud this game. I mean, I'm not sure what else to really say about it. He balled out. He hit a 100-foot flip pass with some forward stick.
Like, he scored a dope goal and he ended up with an assist, but that was easily, like, the thing that he did that was, like, you styling.
Yeah.
But really what was the biggest takeaway from Byram tonight was, once again, like, defensively, pretty solid.
Rock steady, yeah.
There were some things that I was a little iffy about defensively, but I'm not going to make bones about that. You remember, like, he's not a finished product, so
yep.
I'm not gonna pick the nits on his game at all tonight. I thought it was overall a plus kind of performance, and
for sure
the kind of thing where you're just like, look, even if Jack Johnson was pushing for an opening night lineup spot, which guy would you rather have?
Byram all day. Yeah
Byram. His ceiling right now is this. It's, I mean, watching him tonight. And did you see him in the third period during that power play where he was going backdoor, just screaming for the puck?
Six on five, empty net. He's pinching, and that the beaver tail is going.
Yeah.
He's always been a competent player like that.
Yeah. So it's awesome to see him now just like doing it more and more and more. The offense has been there. And AJ, I do have that. Like, his positioning on D sometimes is suspect. There's going to be times where he gets beat, but that's something that they'll fix. I mean, he's so talented.
I thought he was just okay the first half of the game, and then it seemed like we have to remember he has not played a lot of NHL hockey, especially the last, I mean, what he missed last half of the year pretty much. So it seemed like the confidence really came back the last half of the game, especially after the goal. Because I thought it was funny. I'm sure we'll talk about Jacob McDonald, but they were like, after he missed like three shots on one power play, they're like, okay, Bo, you're double shifting here. And then he takes the shot and goes right where McDonald was missing.
For our listeners, non-video people here, we have AJ's tweet up that talking about Byram's Byram's quote from Juniors.
Yeah, so basically, I've waited. I told you guys that when he scored his first goal for the Avs, and I didn't want to wait for the regular season because it could be 30 games in, and I was just ready. But basically, when he was a rookie in the WHL, he was getting chirped by one of the older players on the bench, and he responded by saying, "Buddy, in 2 years, you're going to be working a 9-to-5, and I'm going to be making 9-to-5. Keep your fucking mouth shut."
I love the chirps are so great.
He can chirp too. He can chirp with the best of them.
I had to sit on that story for a year.
It's funny. That's kind of what this game felt like to me with Byram. Is he got halfway through and realized the skill around him was like his last year in Vancouver, where it was like, oh, I need to just carry this team. Okay, that's fine. I can do that. Had a great goal, obviously. Moving on to the next couple of defensemen. Justin Barron, pretty rough around the edges tonight to me.
He's good with the puck. I like him. He's really cool with the puck at the offensive blue line. Super chill. Nothing bothers him. But, yeah, defensively there's some issues. But we all expected that.
We talk about it during training camp. We're like, these drills where the defensemen don't use their stick are so boring and it makes them look bad. But Justin Barron needs to do drills without a stick for like 2 months straight. That dude relies on his stick way, way too much.
Yeah, and when I talked to him in Arizona, one of the things I asked him, I said, defensively, you know that that's the area that you have the most work to do. What are you focusing most on? And he said two things. He said his gap control, he can get really loose with it because he's always been able to recover at his level, and that in the pros he's been learning that he can't get away with leaving a really loose gap because guys will just take advantage of him, and then he needs to close the space. And then the second thing, just that he has to learn to be more physical. And yep. That's still, there's no physicality in his game right now.
Yep.
And he just, it's going to take, he needs, like, he's not going to ever be Drew Helison. That's a personality thing.
Totally.
But he needs to figure out how to be effective with his size. And I, it's something that I always talk about, like, oh, he's not an overly physical guy, but he's effective with his size. You look at like Nichushkin's not going out there rocking guys and racking up 200 hits in a season, but he's really effective with his body. He understands how to use it effectively. And that's an area where Barron has always just been bigger than other guys his entire career. And even in the NHL, he looks big. But he needs to learn how to utilize it properly. I'm genuinely kind of surprised that Bednar continues to harp on him. Maybe hype him up the way that he has, because I'm on the opposite side where I'm looking at it like this is a full year for me. I want to see a lot of development to go in the AHL. And he's talking about him in a certain way that you're just like, oh. I wonder if he's thinking about this guy as a
2 months into the season take
over type guy. As maybe like the ninth guy on that list.
Well, I don't know, man. Defensive positioning when he was out there, he looked a little lost at times out there.
Look, I know that penalty kill unit was a disaster waiting to happen, but he was totally lost on that goal they gave up.
Just a reminder, to answer this quick question, sorry guys, the NCAA guys are not allowed at training camp.
Yep.
So Helison, Colby Ambrosio, Tyler Wiese, Taylor McCarr, Sean Behrens, none of those guys are allowed at training camp. They're only allowed to go to development camp, which is usually the week after the draft.
And even that, they have to pay their own way.
Yep.
Once they take that money.
Yeah.
The NCAA, ladies and gentlemen. In any case, Barron, there's still some work to do there, clearly. Look, we could totally be changing our tunes after 2 months of AHL play with him, but...
Totally. And like really his AHL play last year was good. It was very encouraging. But, you know, seeing him even in this kind of situation, it's just a...
Don't jump the gun here.
Yeah, it's not there yet, but you are not feeling in any way discouraged about him as a prospect on the whole.
I do wonder, like, if he's that big and he hasn't really effectively used his body to this age, like, will it come?
Yeah.
I think that's a realistic question because
absolutely.
Some people just don't have that mentality. Like, I don't know.
It's one of those things, right? Like, you're not going to change a player's mentality and flip it on its head, right? But you're looking for a minimum level of that physicality that's just necessary to a certain extent.
Yeah. You're looking for him to understand how to be effective at his size. You're not asking him to physically dominate guys because it's not going to do that. He's not going to try and knock guys into tomorrow. Again, he's not going to be Drew Helison. Drew Helison's nasty. That dude wants to hit. He hits to hurt. Drew Helison has that mean streak. And, you know, we always talk about, oh, if you could put this attribute into this guy, how much better would he be? You know, and with a guy like Barron, if he had that natural nastiness, he never would have gotten to 25th overall, regardless of the blood clotting issues.
Snatched him up at 15.
There's no way, because that was one of the question marks is defensively, was he ever going to be able to develop into a plus defender in the league? Because moving pucks was something he's always been able to do. He's always put up big numbers everywhere. So I think tonight was just a continuation of what we saw in Arizona in the rookie showcase, what we saw in camps, He moves pucks. I think we would all probably agree that we like that part of his game a lot, that he looks like a totally different guy. But the defensive details, Greg Cronin and staff have a lot of work to do there.
Yep. Yeah. I wouldn't agree with that comment about Mikko. I think Miko's always used his body well. He just didn't have the balance to back it up, and now he does.
He was Bambi on ice. There was a very real, like, this dude, because there was an interview where Mikko grew, where he talked about how he grew like 6 inches when he was like 15 years old.
Yeah.
And when you have that kind of a growth spurt, you know, in just in a really short period of time, you're like, all of a sudden you're really gangly and you don't know what you're doing and you're really uncoordinated. And it takes time for you to figure out that coordination. He's there.
Yep. All right. Evan, you seem like you really want to hit on Jason McDonald.
I thought he was awful. Really bad tonight.
Dude, he almost salvaged it with a game-tying goal at the very, very end.
His work on the power play tonight was exactly what he did in practice today. Every time the puck would come to him, he'd get it, and he would shoot it, and it would get blocked, or he'd miss the net by 10 feet. Like, it was just poor decisions, like, all over the ice. And, I thought, you know, if I had to pick one of the two to step in tomorrow in an NHL game, I would want to see what Barron does over McDonald based off of what we saw tonight, but...
Yeah,
it's just one game.
Yeah. I would agree. I would completely agree there. That
yeah.
Right now, I think that hierarchy has probably changed with like Jack Johnson, and then maybe Justin Barron is sliding in, pushing Curtis McDermott.
Well, Justin Barron's always going to have the appeal of he's a right shot, and Bednar has talked again all in preseason. Like, he's like the one pair I will never put together is Johnson McCarr because right shots are just too rare. And now he has Barron just potentially down the line. And I think that's what's appealing to him so much about everything.
No, this other than me, this was the Everyone Loves Jacob McDonald podcast for like half of last season.
Seriously.
Yeah. I was all in last year. Tonight, like,
there was no more appreciative a group of people than we were of the chaos machine that he was.
It was the YOLO machine last year. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was all, it was a ton of fun. Yeah. It was incredibly wild, and it was predictably, you know, hit the hard valley at the end.
Yeah.
But it like we were big fans of. He's a ton of fun, but tonight was not. Yeah, tonight. This I don't like this argument personally. This stuff frustrates me. This is looking for an excuse for a guy to make bad decisions, and it just frustrates me. Jacob McDonald just didn't play very well tonight, and if he's entirely reliant on being propped up by the guys around him to be any good, then you can't put that guy into your lineup.
Yeah, and players have bad nights. I mean, it could have just been a bad night. Like, why there's six preseason games to look at.
The first preseason game.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, he had 33 games last year where, you know, the bad parts of tonight were the bad parts of what we saw last year. And so that's why you're a little more comfortable drawing a stronger conclusion there. But, yeah, like, it's – you're not burying the guy after tonight. It's just – we'll see. You know, all the conversation that we've had about the fourth line battles and the forward core and how's it going to play out. Like, there's a beyond the set six on defense that we think are going to be on the opening night roster. That entire hierarchy is just a bunch of question marks. We really don't know what that order is.
Any thoughts on Middleton or Englund?
No comment.
Okay. Good. Moving on.
I'll do it.
I did learn that there's different ways to spell England tonight.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we left that out of our what did we learn tonight rundown from.
Not Derek England, not the country England.
Dude. That was so. That was a rough spot to sit through. And I was like, look, at least this is a preseason game. These guys are doing this. But it was like, oh, not even the country. England.
Some of these fun facts would have blown your mind if you went to Solace Meds before this hockey game. Okay. So go over to Solace Meds, get 15% to 25% off on select products in store. If you go to the Wheat Ridge location, you get a free King Cone with your purchase as well. You can also order for pickup online. Use code DNVR20 there to get 20% off your entire purchase and get one location wherever you are. FOCO, they got one. Wheat Ridge, they got one. Downtown, they got one. A couple blocks from the bar, they got one. You're covered with Solace Meds. They got all the THC products you would have any interest in buying. So go check them out today. You can go online to solacemeds.com. That's SOLACEMeds.com. Then once you're good and high and ready to make bad decisions, go YOLO bet on DraftKings Sportsbook. All right? Do it responsibly, but have a little bit of fun. Make some bets. They got their new Brady specials rolling for next week, if you didn't know. You can get a bunch of odds boosts to bet on Brady back in Foxborough playing for the other team. So check those out. Highly recommend you go have some fun with that. Of course, if you are a new account with DraftKings Sportsbook and you use code DNVR, all you have to do is bet $1 on any week four football game and you will get $150 in free bets instantly. Jump on that, get yourself $150. That way, if you use some Solace Meds and you make terrible decisions, it's free money. You're playing with Monopoly money, so it doesn't hurt. Easy life. Have some fun. If it actually hits, you have a ton of real money all of a sudden. Win-win right there. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR to get that $150 in free bets when you bet $1 on any football game. Again, please use the DNVR code. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. The DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We got there in the end. Hit up Hassel Cattle Company as well. Go get yourself some delicious meats. You can try their Wagyu burger down at the DNVR bar if you're skeptical, but everyone who's tried it has absolutely loved it. So you can order them for your home as well. So the Hassel Cattle Company, we can finish this podcast, I promise. Hassel Cattle Company, you can get 10% off when you use code DNVR10. And if you order over $200 of meat, you get free shipping. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's dive into the forwards a little bit. We kind of beat around the bush. Shane Bowers seemed to be all positive things tonight.
I mean, with the puck, he's still not perfect. Had that turnover in the third period, but nothing that he did tonight like surprised me in any way. Like he works hard. He's a good skater. Does a lot of little things right. I mean, the screen on the Byram goal is perfect.
Yeah.
Nothing that I saw tonight really surprises me, and everything that I saw tonight is just adds to the fact that I'm like, why have we never seen this guy get a look in the NHL? Like, just doesn't make sense to me. Especially, like, I hope that they saw that Anisimov is not a good fit there on that fourth line, because the skating is just not going to be it there. So I think Bowers helped himself tonight. And he played in all situations, so he certainly got a lot of ice time. And apparently he led the team at Corsi. So whatever that means in a preseason game.
In the first period there on the penalty kill, when he skated the puck out of the zone and then created a shorthanded chance. Looked pretty good out there with the puck there. Now, he did definitely lose the puck in the third, and that was a bad turnover, but you saw some good things from him tonight.
And I mean, you know, let's be real. Shane Bowers in the NHL is going to be used on a PK, not late in the third period when you need a goal, right?
Yeah. I did love him getting in Petrangelo's face at the end. Like, just that's how you got to get noticed. That's what you got to do. It almost worked. They almost died it.
Yeah, Petro did try to break a tree across his back. So might be feeling that one in the morning. But look, Bowers at this point realistically is on the outside looking in, I think, of the roster, just given the fact that he was playing in this game, probably doesn't bode super well for him. But he's someone that has to get himself in the mix at least for a call-up this year, right?
Sure.
Nodding heads.
Okay. Yeah.
What are they doing if they don't?
AJ, the dissenting voice, it sounds like.
Yeah, I didn't love him. I thought, like, there were the little things, right? It's always been little things with him. But, yep. It's like the classic Shane Bowers conundrum is, you know, he's got the puck on the wall and he's got guys on him and he just makes a soft pass that turns into a 2-on-1 the other way. But he hustles his ass off and gets back, eliminates the pass on the 2-on-1, turns it into a 2-on-2 and takes that guy away and it's fine. But he also created it.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're just talking, you know, like there were good things. He didn't have any shot attempts tonight.
He had a shot on goal in the first goal.
The one, right? And because I'm going through and I'm looking at, like, I'm trying to get into some of this stuff, and it's like
he had a shot on goal in the first. What the heck? I watched it. I see.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It was after that. That's my bad.
Well, no, natural stat trick has 0-2. That's why it's like.
I don't think it was. Was it 5v5 when it happened?
Yeah, it was whatever. But
all right, look,
it's not the point. This is not the point. The point is
that the trackers too. Okay.
The point is that I'm just not. I'm just not. Like, you look at the guy. Like, is it? Is he more intriguing than Artem Anisimov? Yes. Like, because I think Artem Anisimov is washed and it's done for him. And I think tonight was a good example of that. Am I more intrigued with Bowers than Anisimov? Sure. Am I more intrigued with Bowers than I am Sampo Ranta or Martin Kaut? No. Because I think there's a much, much harder limit there. And in terms of his upside as a player, and I've loved Shane Bowers since he was in the USHL. But, like, this idea that the Avs have this, like, surefire NHL guy. Like, tonight was a good test against NHL competition, and I just didn't love it. I wasn't overwhelmed by it, is I guess, where... And I feel like I have to be, because the guy's in front of him. Now, you're talking, Rudo, he has to put himself on track to be a call-up at some point. I think he's doing that. He was really good in Arizona. He was also older than a lot of guys in Arizona. You know, he looked great down there. He did what he had to do. I liked his camp. This is a solid first game for him. It's mostly about the other guys around him that I would have the issue with here, and the role that you want to ask him to play. Now, right now, I think that there's an open spot at 4C. Would I be a lot more interested in Shane Bowers as the 4C with O'Connor and Helm flanking him than, say, a Mikhail Maltsev right now, just given what we've seen in the preseason? Yes. And that's it. That's the role. That one role is the one that I would be intrigued with him, because I think his speed plays in the way that Colorado wants. His intelligence is welcome to a team that occasionally suffers from collective brain damage.
They get a case of the dumps, yeah.
And I think both of those are great, and he would be in a role in which it would play to his skill set, because he wouldn't be asked to produce a lot of offense. And so I think and he would not have to be a driving force on that line. I love the idea of Helm, Bowers, and O'Connor. I love that. That's about it, though. Any other situation in the NHL, I'm iffy on, and I want, and I would be more intrigued by the other guys in front of him. And that's without Mikhail Maltsev hadn't played a game. Mikhail Maltsev could come rolling out into a preseason game and bowl me over, and I could feel totally differently. And you know, in 2 days if he plays, and so I think he's in the conversation there. But this was not such a Shane Bowers rock tonight. Such an overwhelming, like, he was so good. He was more good than bad, easily. Yeah, I think he looks better. The biggest thing is that he looks bigger and stronger. He looks like he is more fit to handle the rigors. And I just don't know if there's enough skill. I the same question that has always plagued him. I don't know if there's enough skill. But I love everything else about the guy's game.
All right. Quick super chat here from Pete. Thoughts on the cross-check crackdown? Touch on it very briefly. But
we're all going to be confused by it for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering if this is something that even continues deep into the season. Like, we've seen this before where they roll up all tough in preseason and then yeah, the regular yeah. season starts and they're kind of like, it's fine.
It's always something, right? And they do it for the first month and then it just disappears.
Yeah. Yeah, and they like to pretend like, oh, well, the crackdown meant that the players changed how they were playing. That didn't yeah. happen, Chief. Yeah, yeah. They waited you out. And then we'll get back into the postseason where guys are chopping wood on the back yeah. of in the middle of guys' backs, and it's going uncalled, and everybody's just like, it will be come the Stanley Cup playoffs, come May, it will be a punchline.
Yep. Agreed.
Where their head's at. I just don't trust them to keep it going. Take it seriously.
O'Connor and Helm were in this game. Let's be real. This is nothing more than like a preseason warm-up for them as they head towards the roster, really. Mm-hmm. So I don't think any of us have a ton to say about them.
Helm looked like dog shit.
Yeah, he kind of did. But he's also like 35. He probably doesn't care. Yeah.
Like straight up a 34-year-old dude playing in the first preseason game. He knows what's up.
Yeah.
Didn't look pretty down where he would fluff that backdoor pass.
Well, I think that's expect a lot of that. Get used to that lifestyle with the Avs fourth line. But I guess we're kind of winding down here. Any other particular guys you wanted to point out or call out here?
I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I'm picking on the dude, but I don't see it with Anisimov.
Yeah.
I really don't. I really, and like the role that they've given, he was on both the PK and the power play. Like Evan, I think you mentioned it that he was going to play like all five. Like he was going to play five or all six preseason games. They're going to try and do everything they can to talk themselves into this. Like Jack Johnson had a good camp. Jack Johnson was solid today. You could sell me on Jack Johnson easily getting a contract as the seventh guy right now. Artem Anisimov over any of these guys. Artem Anisimov over Nick Henry right now feels bad.
Yeah.
He just looks
tonight
washed.
Was extremely concerning to me that against NHL competition with line mates that you're expecting him to be significantly better than, he's struggling. That's not. Especially someone like Anisimov, who, if you're putting him on like a third line, he's the guy that you're saying, okay, we need you to drive the offense on this line. And I just don't see how he can do that, to be honest with you.
That's, well, he's never, because you go back and you look in his career, he's never been the ace defensive guy
yep.
of like a third line center. He's never been good enough offensively to be a true 2C.
Yep.
He's been carried offensively by being a very, very good shooter. And that's something that has not really, like, the last couple of years, it's gone away. Like,
one of the shots he took tonight was dead in the chest. it was a brutal shot.
It didn't. It's not like it was a missile either. That thing
no
was not humming. It just kind of went into the chest and settled.
And like, if that's not jumping out at you, what's the appeal? Like, he's yep. good in the face-off circle. We went and looked at his career. He's like a 46% yeah. guy in his career.
It's not
he's
good.
Bad at face-offs. So I'm just not I've enjoyed, like, I liked Anisimov in his career. I loved his little sniper thing he did in, with the Rangers that got him in so much trouble 1,000 years ago. I thought that was great.
Better selling is man. Something the NHL needs badly, but I agree. Anisimov looks washed to me.
I can't believe we're going into the, oh yeah, he did finish at 47%. He was at 6 of 12 going into like the second to last.
And then lost kill. One more or whatever.
Yeah. And yeah, so, okay. He was on 6 of 12, like, is as good as it gets for that dude. Anyway, I always hate to feel like I pick on dudes because I harp on the same couple of things, but like, I'm not going to go out of my way to dog like Dalton Smith or Alex Bocage. Bocage was a huge disappointment tonight for a guy that we've had a little bit
totally
of was prospect hype on tonight.
Total ghost in this game, but
yeah, that was super concerning, but also like
he was playing on the fourth line tonight and was destined for an AHL role this entire
right season, like so. He's 20 years old going into his first pro season. Like, we'll see where he's at in 2 years to really feel that way. But with Anisimov, you're like, this has to happen now.
Yep.
He's playing for a job now. He played 620 of power play time and 130 of shorthanded time, and all of it looked bad.
Yeah, so, he always felt like a guy they brought in out of hope, especially because he was a later pickup than JJ. This was, what, like a week before camp or something like that this came out? So always felt like a guy that, I think I mentioned it when they brought him on. It's like, oh, you know, you need those veterans for those first couple preseason games to fill spots. He could do that, but it's pretty clear that he just doesn't fit in how they want to play. Like, it just doesn't work.
What's it like, Blaze? One day you just wake up and you slow down. You don't have you don't have it in the men's league anymore.
And it gets worse and worse and worse.
So there's no hope for recovery for Anisimov here in your eyes?
No. I think he's done. I think his career is on the way out.
Well,
it's a bummer, man. It sucks to see guys hit the end of the road. Like, he's had a good career. He's been a good player.
Yeah.
But you just see him. It's a
tough
like,
pill to swallow, too.
He looks like the Hunchback of Notre Dame out there with the way that he's skating. And you're just like, he's working so hard to just not go very fast. And it's just like, man, this is such a bummer to see. Because, like, genuinely, have enjoyed his career.
And super just, fun in Chicago. Like,
he was a Blue Jacket too, wasn't he?
I think he was part of that. I think he was part of the Rick Nash deal.
Yeah.
Why do you think he's here?
Yeah, but like you look at Jack Johnson, just the difference in the PTOs.
Yep.
You look at Jack Johnson and you're like, physically, he looks completely fine. He's getting around the ice just fine. He's doing what he's got to do. Your concern with Jack Johnson is that, like, he makes horrible decisions and he kind of sucks in game.
And with
Anisimov, you're just like, dude, physically, it just doesn't look like he can handle this anymore, that he belongs anymore, let alone anything else. Just the physical skills look like they're just gone, and it's such a bummer. But I do think that this should be.
It's time
to let it be pretty clear.
It should be quitting time, man. Like, it should be for the team. It should be like sending him out to this game. Okay, with the forward core that they sent, like, boo. But they, you know, maybe you keep him for one more road game, but you have to start finding your real roster soon.
Yeah,
and like Jason Megna's under contract for 2 years, right? Like. That's who he should be competing with a job for, to be captain of the Eagles, not anything else.
All right. Anisimov talked about. Anyone else? Are we good?
I don't even think there's really any other forwards worthy of talking about in this game.
Sounds about right.
Gabriel Fontaine apparently doesn't have a last name.
What?
The broadcast just referred to him as Gabriel all night.
Yeah.
And it's not like Fontaine is a particularly challenging to say last name. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're boys, and he was just like, "That's my guy, Gabriel." Other than that, I don't know.
In that case, we're gonna wrap this one up.
We did an hour
after dark. A little bit of fun on this one. We'll be back with normal time podcast tomorrow. We'll see what happens on Thursday. It sure seems like no one's gonna be able to watch this game. So maybe it'll be a regular pod. Maybe we'll do something. I don't know. The only preseason game we know for sure will be watchable is the one on October 5th against Vegas. The rest of them, we're playing a little bit by ear here, but we have lots of other non-pod related content coming for you in the next few weeks. So keep your eyes peeled, like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Do all of those good things. We appreciate all of y'all so very much. Thank you for all the super chats too. Awesome to see all you guys back in a post-game show in the chat and some new faces as well. So we're looking forward to another blast of a season here on the pod. We're going to get out of here, though. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening. Until the next one, we'll talk to you later.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.